Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Body Wisdom Podcast. Today, our special guest is Eve Bernfeld, and I'm going to read Eve's biography. Eve Bernfeld is an Alexander Technique teacher, writer, performer, and wife and mother living in Portland, Oregon. She is also a licensed drama educator with a master's degree in theater education and is endlessly curious about the intersection between art, nature, embodiment, and education. She owns In Balance Alexander Technique, is an adjunct professor at Lewis and Clark College, gives talks and workshops around the region, and writes for various publications. Coping with the beautiful chaos of raising six-year-old triplets gives her lots to write about. Hi, Eve. Welcome and thank you so much for coming to our show.
Oh, well, thank you, Tammy. I'm really thrilled to be here. Very exciting.
Well, we're very happy to have you. So can you tell me a little bit about how you've been coping with the unusual times that we're in right now?
That is a good question. It is such a blur, but I have been taking a lot of walks. That's kind of my primary coping mechanism. And I get up early before anyone else in my family. So I get a little time, like quiet time to myself. And then if my kids get up earlier than I expect, I spend the rest of the day going, So those are two of my things. Oh, and I have this non-negotiable 30-minute quiet time in the middle of the day. I'm like, I don't care what you do, but don't bother me. I'm lying down for 30 minutes. That's how I'm coping.
I love that. That's a great idea. 30 minutes, just give mama her peace, you know, yeah. Do your thing. I love that. That's great. You wrote for our publication a series of self-care articles, which I love so much, one of which we're going to be talking about today. But can you tell me how this idea came about to write this series about self-care?
Yes, it started out as one blog. I'm going to write a blog, 5 ways we're doing self-care wrong. And I think at one point I thought 7 ways or 4 ways, you know, it kind of, and as I started writing, it just became pretty evident that it was either going to be the world's longest blog, or it needed to be a full blog for each of the things. And that was the first time I had written a series like that. And so it was a little daunting to make a promise that I would post a new blog about X every week. That's one of the great things about blogging, is that I sort of get to do it when I want, what I want, whatever sort of tickles me. So it was an interesting undertaking to sort of set it up in advance and then churn it out. And I learned a lot doing it.
It was wonderful. I really could relate to so much of the content in your series. And the one that really stood out to me that I wanted to talk about today is the one titled 5 Ways We're Doing Self-Care Wrong, Part 3, We Add Instead of Subtract. So could you tell me a little bit about what that particular blog is about?
Yes. I wanted to get to the idea that we are really conditioned to any way that we want to improve ourselves or our lives, it's a matter of doing more. And so if I want to, just for as an example, like if I want to sing better, then I need to find a teacher or maybe find a better teacher. And then I need to practice. And if I'm, you know, practicing an hour a day, I need to practice 2 hours a day. And there's this sort of constant process of adding things on and hoping that that's going to result in everything, you know, working beautifully with my voice. And we apply that to every part of our lives, even the parts where we're trying to take care of ourselves. If we think that we would like to engage in something called self-care, we have some idea that we'd like to take better care of ourselves, we still apply this paradigm of addition to it, when really what we may be struggling with, what we may be, the one of the fundamental problems why we need something called self-care, maybe because we're so overstimulated, we're so overtaxed, we're so overscheduled. And I wrote this blog, I was just rereading it. I wrote it in January when things were a little different. And I was really feeling that overscheduled, overtaxed thing in a different way than I feel it now. But I just wanted to suggest that maybe instead of putting all this attention into, God, I got to make sure I make it to that yoga class, or I have to make sure I add in some meditation every day, that we give ourselves permission to actually just take some things away without shame and guilt, which I always find very much a part of me trying to, if I say no to something, it's not just, no, I can't do that. It's, I'm so sorry. Oh my God. I'm just a terrible person because I can't do everything. And that's really exhausting.
Yes.
And the thing that was interesting about that blog is I thought it would be pretty straightforward, but it ended up being, I found myself sort of forcing myself to take my own advice in real time, because it is it's very hard for me. It's not something that I just naturally can do. It's actually something I'm quite bad at and really need the advice. In fact, that's true of most of my writing. I don't write from a place of I've got to figure it out, but here's what I'm struggling with and here's what might work. So that was really fun to write that blog and actually subtract some things from my life and realize it didn't kill me.
I think that that's the best kind of writing, is when you write from that place that it's kind of like for you, but you're sharing it with other people. Like, this is what works for me, or this is what I'd like to do. And I'm inviting you to, you know, to take it or leave it. And that's why I think it resonates with me and with so many other people. And what I particularly liked in that piece was you likened the subtracting to pruning and in your garden. And that's just such a lovely example. Maybe you want to just talk a little bit more about that metaphor, because I thought it was so, so beautiful.
Yeah, pruning. I mean, I'm not a great gardener. And it feels really kind of wrong to go out. And I was using raspberries as an example, because I have raspberries in my yard. And it's sort of brutal. Like, I really was chopping them off in this way that looked like dead cane sticking out of the ground. But I know from experience that that's what raspberries like. So that kind of getting outside, mucking around in the dirt, doing something that feels kind of brutal, but then realizing that this is what my garden needs, and this is also what I need. It was helpful for me to find a way to articulate it.
I love that. It is a beautiful way of thinking about it. Like, if I can do this for my garden or for my raspberries, then why can't I do what my body also needs, you know, mm-hmm. to subtract? And you mentioned some things that you gave up, things that were important to you, teaching classes, but, you know, that were just taking up time and not allowing you to do other things, like spending more time with your kids. And I think that that's like a noble sacrifice to sort of say, I'm going to put this aside. Yes, I have this desire to want to help all of these people, but let's bring it back to what's really important. And I think especially now in this era that we're in, you know, we are all being forced, I think, to look at what's really important in our mm-hmm. children. And what I think is also happening is we're kind of transferring that to-do list that we had before when we were so busy. And I could speak for myself, I am applying it to all the shoulds and lists of things that I should be doing. Okay, well, maybe I'm not as busy now, but I have all this, you know, time. I'm not working right now because the Alexander technique is a hands-on approach, and I'm not doing online. That's not really something I'm doing yet or comfortable with doing. I don't know. But I found myself, okay, well, what should I be doing with my kids? How can I do this with them? Mm-hmm. How can I make wonderful meals? How can I, you know, be super mom? And it's like, instead of taking the lesson that life is kind of saying, stop, what mm-hmm. can I do? And yeah. So this idea of subtracting really resonates right now too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a whole new sort of way of seeing it, but I think it's equally important, because in Alexander technique lessons, sometimes I describe when people lie down, sometimes if we're very rigid, holding ourselves up upright, when we lie down, we don't just let all that go. I mean, we're usually still.
Yeah.
And I think it's similar to what's happened now. It's just because the world stopped didn't mean our habits changed or our desire to fill every second and be super productive and conquer and muscle our way through life. That didn't go away. It just got sort of transferred onto yes. other topics or other, you know, I look around my house and because my kids are home all the time and they're doing a lot of really wonderful creative play that they weren't doing before because they were so busy, mm-hmm. but it just destroys my house. Like, why can't I keep my house clean? That's my thing.
Yeah, mine too.
Why is my house not Marie Kondo'd now?
Well, yours you know. Was before. Well, good for you.
No, it wasn't before, but I feel like it should be now.
Yeah,
it
should, yes. Oh,
that's
yes.
one of those shoulds.
Yeah, that was one of the things in the beginning when this started, we didn't really know what to expect. And I think that I think I organized my pantry at some point. I was so excited. Mm-hmm. And now I think that so many people like myself are so depleted of energy, desire to, like the thought of now going into my pantry, it's like, no, I don't even want to, like, I want a clean house. I just don't want to do it. I just don't want to, yeah. I don't want to do it. But, I wanted to also ask you if you could give maybe possibly some more ideas for moms, also myself, of how we can subtract today. So now a lot of us are working from home or writing from home, or, you know, sometimes we've got both parents that are home and the kids are home, pets are home. How can we subtract from this idea of, well, we don't really feel like we're doing a lot? Well, how can we subtract from that anyway?
Mm-hmm. That is a good question. And I haven't figured it out. But I think one thing that we can do is just, well, one thing I've been doing, I'll put it that way. One thing I've been doing is really engaging as much as I can in a process of pausing myself. Often, so that I can really be here, be doing what I'm doing, and not, oh my God, I have to make sure my kids are reading because they would have been reading better if they'd been in school, but that's another one on my should list.
Yes.
You know, I sat down with one of my daughters the other day and she read me three little books, and we haven't read in far too long. I mean, her to me.
Right.
And it was sort of delightful. And I realized the difference was when we were doing it before, I was really intense about it. And so she was hating it. And so we were struggling. So I'm trying to kind of give myself some space to kind of let us enjoy it more, maybe. You know, we've been reading a lot of fun books. I mean, I've been reading to them a lot of fun books that I enjoy. And then it's like, it's okay that maybe I'm not doing 50 other things on a list, but we're together, we're enjoying each other's company. And this sort of repeated process of pausing, because I can go off the deep end so quickly if I don't, you know, about 50 times a day say, let me just pause here for a minute. Which actually I wrote about in one of the other pieces in that, mm-hmm. in that series, was this idea that taking care of ourselves doesn't have to be like, I need an hour, because what mom has, I mean, some moms do, I suppose, but I feel like it's a pretty common problem among mothers that, like, there is just no time. And if we think we need an hour to take care of ourselves, it's not going to happen. So if we think it takes 2 seconds, it might happen, you know, 2 seconds here and 2 seconds there and 2 seconds over there. And it's interesting how these principles still help me, even though the sort of the shape of my life and the schedule of my life is quite different from how it was back when I wrote these pieces. So I guess I'm gratified that the stuff, it still works. It still helps. Just letting myself pause, being where I am.
I love that. I think that that's also what you mentioned in this article, is this notion of we have to create time for self-care. And like, so we think, okay, it's another thing we have to add. Like, okay, I want to take a bath. I want to do this for myself. Well, that's something else I have to add to my list. I don't necessarily have time. And even if you have time, even if the kids are, or if I have time and the kids are watching TV, it's not really time that I can, you know, work. It's mom, you know, it's finding that mental space. And so this notion of, okay, I'm going to just pause you know, and just stop. And this idea of pausing, I think, is so important. It's also so much integrated into the Alexander technique. We have this mm-hmm. idea of non-doing with the Alexander technique, where we pause, essentially, mm-hmm. and we allow the body to kind of get recoordinated again and to work, because when we're not pausing, when we're, you know, going and going and tightening our neck and I've got to do this and this, you know, we're doing, and then we bring it back to non-doing and taking that pause. And that's what I loved so much about this article, is that it's taking off more things that we're doing to let our nervous system, to let our whole musculoskeletal system relax and calm down. And mm-hmm. even given the time that we're in, that the world isn't as fast paced, we've still kind of been programmed to be that way. And it's mm-hmm. this equilibrium mm-hmm. where we're like, what do we do? You know? Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. That's actually, that was kind of the seed of the blog, because for a while, occasionally I've been describing Alexander technique, specifically Alexander technique, as a process of subtraction. Like if someone comes in for lessons and they've never had it before, and I say, well, most things is you go to physical therapy and you get some exercises and you add those exercises to your life, and then you hopefully feel better. Mm-hmm. And instead, with Alexander technique, we're looking at what can we subtract? What patterns that you are currently unaware of can we subtract? And so I just sort of extrapolated to not just my musculoskeletal patterns, or not just my even my thought processes, but the things I was doing in my life, the obligations in my life. And it seemed the paradigm still fit, that I have been attempting to add my way to peace and happiness, and it's not working. And perhaps I would get farther by subtracting things. And one thing that's funny too is some of these things that I talk about in the piece that I subtracted, the class that I was teaching and this workshop that I was supposed to give a big proposal for, it was like this huge thing. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been able to do any of it anyway because of COVID. Like it all would have been canceled. So the fact that I sort of got ahead of it by canceling it in January makes me think, going back to your previous question about, you know, what can we do now? It's like, what are the things, it sort of gives me a little space to say, well, what are the things that I'm doing even still now that I think, oh, are so important. I have to clean my house or make sure my kids are reading to me every day. And, or other obligations. It's like, if that went away tomorrow, if we all got totally locked down again, would I really miss it? That kind of gives me a little more permission to feel like what is most important in my life. And a lot of the things that I get worked up about, perhaps not.
I love that. I think that's it. You nailed it. You have really good intuition also, you know, about kind of knowing that you know, those, you know, that's really, you know, it's actually, it worked out really well. And yeah. And I mean, that's really, yeah, well, it speaks for itself. You know, you couldn't have done it anyway, even if you had wanted to. So Eve, is there anything that you would like to add to what we spoke about today? Anything that you would like other parents, moms especially, that might be going through this struggle, that you might say to them? Any advice you might give to them? We talked about pausing. You know, I like the 2 minute or 2 seconds. That I would like to talk about that in another show, because I love that one. It was the 2 minute pause, or I don't remember what it was called.
Even like 2 seconds or
yeah,
something.
2 seconds. I don't remember. Yes.
I feel like we all, and I know I'm not the first person to say this, but it bears repeating, we all need to give ourselves and each other a lot of grace, because we are in totally uncharted territory, and we don't know what the world will look like tomorrow. And so there's very little point in trying to uphold certain ideals of what this life of parenting should look like when everything is shifting. I mean, we're in a sort of transition, a big transition, I think. I used recently, I was really enamored with the word liminal, liminal space, which is like the threshold. And it's like, here we are on the threshold. And so I think the more we can have sort of a sense of curiosity about what's happening and where we're going, and less of a like, oh, ah, you know, ah, I think that that will serve us no matter what happens and no matter where we go and no matter what life looks like in a week or a month or a year.
I love that.
At least that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful to just look at things, pause, and then kind of turn on our detective lens, or, you know, just kind of look for clues and try to piece together, become curious. And I really like that. That's really wonderful. Well, thank you so much for speaking to us today.